Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's program. I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for joining me. Coming up today, Pope Benedict departs Rome with a message of Christian hope for the people of the United States. We'll have a stateside report on how Americans have been looking forward to the Pope's visit. And we talk to the Archbishop of Washington, D.C. about how the Church has been preparing for the Pope's first stop. Christ our hope. Bearing that message of Christian faith, Pope Benedict XVI left Rome for the United States Tuesday. One of the reasons the Holy Father is going at this time, to celebrate the bicentenary of the establishment of the first four Catholic dioceses and the first archdiocese in the U.S. The Pope's six-day apostolic journey takes him first to Washington, D.C., where he will meet church and faith leaders and faculty and students of Catholic universities. He is due to see President George Bush at the White House on Wednesday, and on Thursday will preside Mass for some 45,000 faithful at Washington's brand-new Nationals Baseball Park. Friday, the Pope will be in New York, headquarters of the United Nations, where he will deliver what is already expected to be a historic discourse. He will be only the third Pope to speak to the General Assembly. Pope Benedict's visit to the UN was planned to coincide with the 60th anniversary celebrations of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. While in New York, the Pope will visit Ground Zero, the site where the Twin Towers stood before the tragedy of September 11, 2001. He will conclude his journey with a Mass at Yankee Stadium. Well, earlier we talked with Sean Lovett, who is in the U.S. following the Pope's visit for us.
Comparisons can be odious, often tedious, and mostly useless. But we love them just the same. So it comes as no surprise that on this side of the Atlantic, the favorite topic of conversation that continues to intrigue journalists, editors, self-proclaimed Vatican experts, even taxi drivers, is what makes this Pope different from the last one? And out comes the familiar list of adjectives used to describe first-time visitor Benedict XVI, as opposed to John Paul II, who touched American soil no less than seven times. It turns out that Benedict is less known, more academic, older, even shorter than his predecessor, none of which is exactly helpful in terms of understanding the man who will be starting his first visit here as Pope in just a few hours' time. Still, it gives people a frame of reference, or so I'm told. Alternatively, after all options on that score have been exhausted, the topic turns to what makes this trip to America by a Pope different from the last one. Well, since I was in America on five of the last trips with the last Pope, I have to admit that the temptation to expound upon my own comparisons is great. Two considerations hold me back. One, the fact that most of what could be said on the matter has already been said. Two, the growing awareness that it's not just the Pope that's different. It's America, the Church, the world. It's us. The last time a Pope was in the United States was in 1999, pre-September 11th, pre-sexual abuse scandals, pre-globalization, pre-YouTube. When John Paul II addressed the United Nations in October 1995, the issue was the rights of peoples and the rights of nations in a post-Cold War world searching for a new equilibrium. The disoriented world Benedict XVI will address, through its representatives at the UN General Assembly this Friday, is looking for more than equilibrium. It's desperate for direction and meaning. The Church in America that Benedict will meet and greet through its bishops in Washington, D.C., and the faithful at the three public masses, is a greater mishmash of cultures and races than ever before. Immigration from Asia, Africa, and above all Latin America, means that over half of America's 67 million Catholics trace their heritage to somewhere other than Europe. Pope Benedict XVI will be scrutinized, interpreted, and commented upon through the lens of a whole new kind of media culture that's more immediate, subjective, and unforgiving than anything we've ever known. When John Paul II was here last, journalists didn't post reports on their blogs or upload images taken with their mobile phones onto MySpace. Which means there's actually no realistic way of knowing what kind of response he'll get until he gets it. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Excitement among Americans here in Rome has been tangible and infectious ahead of the Pope's arrival in their country. A big group of American seminarians joined crowds in St. Peter's Square this past weekend to hear Pope Benedict recite the Regina Coeli. Jesuit Father Richard Tomasek spoke with us as the group broke into song in honor of the Holy Father.
I'm here standing with about 40, 50 of our seminarians from the North American College, and of course we're anxious for the Pope to come on mission to us in the United States. And of course in the United States we're waiting for him eagerly. People are coming from all over the country to New York and Washington to see him. It's so important that he come to the country because, you know, when you're in a foreign country, when you're far away in the United States, you don't pay attention to what he's saying here every Wednesday, every Sunday. And so finally they will get to know him as the man of great love and zeal for Jesus that he is. And that's going to have an infectious enthusiasm, you know, among the people. So we're looking forward to it. And I wish him a wonderful 81st birthday. And of course, we have just sung Ad Multos Annos. You caught that. We want him to have, we ask God to give him at least 10 more years of good health because his leadership is so crucial and so beautiful for the church today. You know, we're blessed to have a dynamic church. We have all the problems of the modern world, but we have families and youth that are truly becoming more evangelized. And so the hope is that he will be able to set more fire under the evangelical movement that is already going on in the United States. I would say ever since Pope Paul VI with his great missionary encyclical and throughout John Paul II and now with Benedict XVI, we Catholics are finally becoming evangelicals. We are finally owning that the church is a church on mission. And we are trying to bring Jesus Christ to the whole world and to every people. And so I have the great pleasure of being the spiritual director at a seminary where we have 180 men who are dedicated to this. So I'm just grateful that the Holy Father once more underlines the fact that we are all on mission, not only priests and religious, but every layperson in the church. And the church will finally have its new springtime when we have realized this. As we know, parents are the first educators in the faith. for children. And it is virtually impossible, except for the miracles of God, that people will discover Jesus and discover the faith if they haven't first experienced it in their family. So the family is absolutely indispensable, father, mother, children, who pray together and who experience themselves as the domestic church. That's where the dynamism of the church is really coming from.
Seminarian Andrew Haynes from Toledo, Ohio, is also excited about the Pope's U.S. trip.
In America, at least in my life, it seems like the Pope has always been so far away. And he's always a guy on TV, like a man on TV. And when you experience that firsthand, just like being here today, like I said, I think that it gives you a much more real sense of hope and real unity with the church, your universal church. And I think that people in America will experience that. I know that they've taken polls of Americans, and a vast majority of Americans are looking forward to the visit, even those who aren't Catholic. And so I think that people have a desire for real truth in their lives, and I think they see the Holy Father as being a figure of that truth, a man who's living out that truth in Jesus Christ. And so I think that certainly it'll be a great springtime of faith in the church to have the Holy Father come visit.
From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, deathless America, my home sweet home. From the mountains.
Well, the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., Donald Wuerl, is also expecting the Holy Father's visit to bring a new springtime for the church in the U.S. I talked to him while he was here in Rome a few days ago. I began by asking him how the Pope's visit is being perceived in the U.S. at a time when questions about a recession, the ongoing war in Iraq, and an ambiguous political future are on everybody's minds.
I think there's a great deal of anticipation, because for many of our younger people, our young adults, there is a questioning going on today. There's a seeking going on today for spiritual values, for some relationship with God, even if they don't always articulate it well, and for some sense that there are answers to all of these problems that you just so rightly underlined. So I think when the Pope comes, people are not going to be expecting that he will give them specific answers to these many, many problems. But what they're counting on is a reinforcement of their faith, a reinforcement of the understanding we do have a relationship with God, and that God is with us, and that our society, our culture, needs to recognize that if we're truly going to build a good and just society. And I think the reason for the excitement is the Pope symbolizes for the whole world, and certainly for our country, this spiritual response to life.
And you think that's what is missing in the lives of many young people today?
I think we live in a culture that is so riveted on the here and now. We live in a culture where the material dominates. It's a highly secular culture. There are those that say it is aggressively secular. That's the culture in which many, many of our young people grow up. Now, they have, as the support for their spiritual lives, they have their families. But the breakdown of the family in the United States is one of the problems that we face, and that our Holy Father, I'm sure, will speak to in terms of his own message. But we also, we have this cultural impact. So the young person has family to turn to and has church to turn to for those values that will support his or her life for the rest of their lives. I think that's one of the challenges that the church faces today. How do you lift up these values? How do you lift up our relationship with God? How do you lift up the message that Christ is risen for each one of us in a world that's so frenetic in its pace that it never seems to raise these questions. Our Holy Father, just by getting off that plane, just by landing in the United States, is going to say to everybody, wait a minute, there's a lot more to life than just this moment.
One of the challenges which the Church in the United States has faced in recent years is the sex abuse problem. How has the Church in America responded to that? And do you think that's perhaps going to come up at all in any of the discourses or meetings with the bishops that the Pope will be having?
Well, I don't think the Holy Father will be able to come and go without touching on this. How and where, I don't know. But it's a part right now of the cultural scene. It's a part of the fabric of discourse, ecclesial discourse in the United States. I think what we have to keep in mind is that while there was enormous attention, great media attention, and enormous social attention to what happened in 2002, beginning in New England, we also have to keep in mind that almost all of the cases we're talking about had happened decades ago, and that the Church had already responded to. So that while there was a terrible, terrible wrong, the Church has responded in a way that no other institution has. It's removed from ministry the people who were involved in this. It's made extensive outreach a part of the very fabric of the Church's life, response to victims. And it has in place child protection programs that are the envy of any other institution on the planet. So I think the Church has responded extremely well to something that should never have happened in the first place. And for that, we have to say we are extremely sorry and devastated that that happened. But the response has been a response of integrity. It's been a response in the spirit of Christ.
The cultural face of the Church in America is changing with immigration. How has the Church responded to this? In a sense, it's a new challenge, isn't it?
It is, and I think one of the things we can also be very proud of is the way in which the Church has responded to this influx of immigrant. Now, we have always responded to the influx of immigrants going back over the century and before that. But we probably haven't had the concentrated numbers in such a short period of time. But what has the Church done? I think among things we've learned is to be far more welcoming to the immigrant today than maybe in the past we were, to attempt to help the immigrant become enculturated, to become adapted to life in the United States, and to reach out to be there spiritually, sacramentally, catechetically for the immigrant, and to provide some of the social support system that the immigrant desperately needs. In the Archdiocese of Washington, where I'm privileged to serve, when you look out from the pulpit or the altar onto the congregation, you see a little slice of the world. You see people from Africa, India, Asia. You see people from North America, Central America, South America. You see people from Europe. All of them made one in this moment at the Eucharist. And so I think you see the Church at her very best. And then you look at the outreach programs, again, in the Archdiocese of Washington. Our Catholic Charities and the Spanish Catholic Center ministering to tens and tens and tens of thousands of people who would have nowhere else to go if it weren't for the Catholic Church and Catholic Charities and Catholic Social Services.
I'm sure you're going to be seeing quite a big slice of the world in Washington, D.C. at the Pope's Mass at the new stadium of Washington, aren't you?
It is so exciting to think that this will be the first non-sporting event at that stadium. In fact, it's nearly the first event in the stadium. And we will have that face of America that the Pope will see when he starts Mass.
The Archdiocese of Washington is a miniature globe in itself. Each weekend, Masses are celebrated in about 24 different languages in the city's 140 parishes and 10 pastoral missions. Some parishioners have ancestors who arrived in Maryland with the first colonists way back in 1634, and others are newly arrived immigrants from nearly every continent. That's the kind of cultural mix the Pope will be seeing at Thursday's Mass.
We have right now, as of the latest count, we have 1,350 priests.
Oh my goodness.
Who will be concelebrating.
Hi.
I was told this will be the largest gathering of Catholic priests to concelebrate with the Pope in any of the visits to the United States.
How many people do you expect to be attending that Mass?
We have given out all 45,000 tickets.
Mm.
For every ticket that we gave out, we had 3 requests.
My goodness.
So there are people who will not be able to join us in person, but again, throughout the Archdiocese, we've encouraged the parishes to prepare for this by having spiritual programs, catechetical programs, confession, invitations to people to join the Pope spiritually, even if they can't be there physically.
It's going to be covered on all the national stations, I imagine. Vatican Radio is covering it.
Yes, yes, it's going to, all the major media will be there covering it. And so for those who aren't able to be there, they'll be able to watch it on television. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, I think they'll be joined in their hearts with the Holy Father at the celebration of the Eucharistic liturgy.
So many Catholics are looking forward to that as the big event of this trip to Washington. However, I'm sure a lot of the media are looking at April 16th when Pope Benedict will be going to the White House and meeting with President Bush. It's also his birthday, his 81st birthday. Give me a behind-the-scenes look. Is he going to be celebrating with President Bush?
Well, I suspect that the president will make note of the fact that it's the Pope's birthday, and a very significant birthday, an 81st birthday. I don't know what exactly will transpire at the White House. That's all done by a ritual and a regiment that emanates from the protocol of the White House. I do know that the White House has expressed over and over again its great joy that the president will be able to greet the Pope, welcome the Pope, and that they'll have this private conversation.
President Bush himself has told the leading U.S. Catholic television, EWTN, that he was looking forward to Pope Benedict's visit.
He is a really important figure in a lot of ways. One, he speaks for millions. Two, he doesn't come as a politician. He comes as a man of faith. And three, that I so subscribe to his notion that there's right and wrong in life, that that moral relativism has the danger of undermining the capacity to have more hopeful and free societies, that I want to honor his convictions as well. The Holy Father represents and stands for some values that I think are important for the health of the country, and when he comes to America, millions of my fellow citizens will be hanging on his every word. One of the tenets of my foreign policy is that there is an Almighty, and a gift of that Almighty to every man, woman, and child is freedom. And, His Holiness speaks with that kind of clarity. I'm also, as you know, a believer in the value of human life. I think it's important for people to understand that a culture of life is in our national interests. And I'm going to remind His Holy Father how important his voice is, and making it easier for politicians like me to be able to kind of stand and defend our positions that are, I think, very important positions to take.
Some excerpts there of an interview with President Bush on EWTN. Well, it will be the second time that a pope has been received at the White House. President Jimmy Carter hosted John Paul II when the pontiff visited the U.S. Capitol in October 1979. Well, despite the natural curiosity surrounding his birthday visit to the White House, Pope Benedict will most likely be cutting into his cake among friends and religious later on Wednesday.
I would suspect that later on we're going to have an opportunity at the nunciature to welcome the Holy Father in terms of his birthday. And that'll be a private moment. But, you know, the next day, when we greet him at the stadium, while we may not be singing Happy Birthday, in our hearts we'll be recognizing
him. Okay. There is just one last question I wanted to ask you. The Pope will be meeting representatives of the different faith communities while he's in Washington. And I just was wondering, how has the church responded to this? We've seen over recent weeks, recent months, new initiatives taken by the Muslim community around the world, encouraging this dialogue with the Catholic Church. In the post-9/11 world, how important is this dialogue considered by the church?
I think it's getting a great deal of attention. And maybe that's one of the reasons why the Holy Father asked for the opportunity while he's in the United States to have this visit with interfaith leadership from around the entire country. This is not a Washington event, even though it's taking place at the Pope John Paul II Cultural Center. It is for interfaith leadership from across the entire country. And I think what the Holy Father is highlighting, what he's underlining, is that this dialogue, these many dialogues, are essential to building up today a world of peace, a world of justice, a truly good and just society. Why? Because religion, whether people want to always admit this or not, religion continues to play a significant part in the lives of most of the people on this planet. And people measure their responses to many things out of their religious conviction. Mm. And we need to be at a point where there's conversation, mutual understanding, where there is that type of dialogue that leads to mutual respect and collaboration. Those are building blocks for the future, for a world of peace.
God bless America, my home, sweet.
Archbishop Donald Wuerl of Washington, D.C.
God bless America.
And of course, you'll find all the latest information about Pope Benedict's 8th apostolic journey abroad here on Vatican Radio. Just look up our website. That's VaticanRadio.org and click on the English service. Of course, we'll also be back tomorrow at the same time and on these same frequencies. Be sure to join us again then. For now, I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Laudator Jesus Christus.